We'd ask you to open your Bible this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. If you're here for the first time, personally, I just want to welcome you. Thank you. Glad that you're here. In Luke chapter 8, we're looking at the life and ministry of Jesus. We've been looking at his life in chronological order. In chapter 8 of Luke, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass afterwards that he went through every city and the villages, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom came 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance." Verse 4. "And when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city, and he spoke a parable. Jesus speaking in verse 5, the sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell on the thorns, and it sprang up, and with it was choked out, but others were on good ground. And it sprang up, and it yielded a crop of 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried out, 'He who has an ear to hear, let him hear.'" Amen? Let's pray. Father, this morning, it's just not a listening ear that you're referring to. It's an open and welcoming heart that wants to not only hear the word of God, but receive the word of God with gladness and a sense to do the will of God for the pleasure of God. So I pray this morning for myself and each one here and those that may be listening now or later, God, that you're at work and it's the living word of God. And right now, this morning, this time, and through this study, you want us to be hearers of the word, and then you want us to be doers, to walk in the ways you prepared for us. God, may this be a transforming time for all of us because your word is alive. Bless the teaching. Bless our children's ministry as they teach tonight, God. Thank you for the high school and the young adult. Thank you for the ministry to the retirement home. May your word go out in abundance today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As we're looking here, we're seeing probably a parable that is, I would say, familiar to most of us. So Jesus spoke in parables, and the question is what's a parable? And it's a great idea. What is a parable? And the word has in it its definition, but a parable is something that comes alongside of something else. Jesus wants to illuminate the truth and illustrate the truth for us. So he uses parables. He'll take, and you can take, if you're going to create a parable yourself, what you're going to take is something familiar to everybody, something that people know. There's no question about it. They live in an agricultural society, so they understand farming. They understand fields. They understand plowing. They understand sowing, and they understand the harvest. They know that. They understand that. So Jesus takes something very familiar to them, and then he's going to put beside it a spiritual truth that he wants to bring to us so they have an illustration to bring forth this truth. Now, it's, again, interesting because the parables will do two things. Listen now. Parables will do two things. It will either reveal truth to you or it will conceal truth to you. What do you mean? Well, in this group that we have right here, and by the way, this account is also in Matthew's gospel and also in Mark's gospel. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, three of the synoptic gospels, they're very similar. But in the other accounts, where Jesus is located, you remember we taught through the Sermon on the Mount? We went through it. It was about 8 months of going through those three chapters of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. This is a sermon in the boat. What do you mean? There are people, multitudes. This could be one of the most popular times of Jesus' public ministry. Crowds from everywhere are pressing in. They have heard about Jesus. They have seen the things that he has done, the things he's said, the miracles. They're looking. What's he going to do next? They're there for curiosity. They're there for criticism. They're there because they want him. Remember, he has already said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me. For I am lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your soul." He's communicated that already. The woman who cried before him and washed his feet, she knew that. She knew what Jesus said. So people are coming. We don't know all the reasons, but a variety of people there. They're pressing in against Jesus. So in a practical way, you know, if you're right on the shoreline and a multitude is pressing in against you, your ability to communicate would only be to a selected few. So Jesus gets into a boat and they move out a little bit, and now his audience is wide and deep, and he's speaking to them. These people are like you and I. Do you ever struggle at all with your Christian life? Of course we do. Do you want to know how much? No, not really, but we all struggle. We all struggle with this. And to be around anybody that communicates as a believer that they don't struggle, they're just not telling the truth, that we all struggle. We live in this world that is contrary to the world that God has for us. And yet in the struggle, we want to see God be victorious in us and through us in these struggles we have. And Jesus knows that, and he knows these people, and he wants to help these people. He said that he came not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And so he's going to give this parable. It's for these people, and it's for us as well. Now, as we've read this first portion of the text, he speaks about there are, in a sense, four different types of soil. So when we read what we read already, this in these first few verses, we're going to explore more in just a minute. He actually gives us the explanation. We'll get into it. But there's the sower, there's the seed, and there's the soil. And so Jesus Christ is coming and he's sowing the word of God, but anybody who shares God's word in the gospel is also a sower, right? And so God's called us to sow his word, correct? And that's what we're doing. So for us as a ministry, we don't only say that we believe in God's word, we teach not only from God's word, but through God's word. We teach the whole counsel of God. We believe it. I couldn't be in a place that wasn't honoring God's word or believing in bringing God's word. My job as a pastor is to feed the people. That's my job. And the criteria for a pastor is listed in Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus. So the criteria for a pastor is there. And what does a pastor do? He's to teach the people. He's to bring the word of God. And he's to love the people and serve the people. That's what we're to do. So we bring God's word. 25 years we've been here bringing his word. We bring the word to the children and back. A number of years ago, we realized, you know something, perhaps by the grace of God, we can be even more fruitful. So we changed the curriculum to go to Answers in Genesis, and a four-year period of time, our children would be able to go through the Bible in a four-year period of time. They did it. They completed that in 4 years. Now they're back in Genesis right now. Isn't that great? These are your children. These are the generation that we're raising up. We believe in God's word. I believe in God's word. I hold fast to his word. You know, a number of years ago, I thought, by the encouragement from the Lord, just to write a little thought with a scripture, and I like taking pictures and putting it out there. So I did it for a few days, and I kept doing it, and it's been over 5 years. And using social media, only saying 3% or 4% read it, which is a small amount, but just realistically looking at that in a very conservative way, that's 100 people a day that read a verse. And I believe it's God's word. It's the living word. But 100 in a month, and then 100 in a year, and then for 5 years, that's 186,000 times that the word of God, and I'm sure many more, but the word of God has been received by someone. That's just that. And then there's discipleship living, and in the same way for the same amount of time. It's another 186,000. And again, being very conservative, our email goes out to around 270 people, but our church app is 1,500 have downloaded our church app. But again, just saying only 100 people are interested in reading it. And if you're not, I'd encourage you to open it up and read it. Your pastor has 3 or 4 minutes of encouragement for you every day from my heart, every day written. They're not pre-baked, you know, and on the shelf somewhere. It's every day. Why? Because I take to heart to feed the people of God. I believe it. It's in my heart. It's what he's called me to do, and I want to do it. I don't want to fall short. I don't want to drop the ball. I want to serve his people. And so Jesus said, that's it. So the seed is the word of God. So the sower is anybody that's scattering the seed. So we should all be sowing. Amen? And the seed is the word of God. It's living. It's the word of God. In the seed, just think in the natural setting. Think if we had this big watermelon. It's loaded with seeds, isn't it? if you just took a seed out of a watermelon and were able to love it a little bit and plant it and see what that seed would then bear and how much would come from that one seed. You see, within all the fruit that has seeds, the potential for so much more from one piece of fruit, correct? Because of all the seeds in it. So what I'm saying is, and what God is saying is, his word, his living word, it's the seed, the word of God. It has the potential of doing abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think according to the riches in Christ Jesus. For any pastor to hold back the word of God from the people of God is a huge mistake, because it's the living word of God. So we're called to scatter the seed, put the seed out there. Nothing is wrong with the seed. Nothing is wrong with the seed. Nothing is wrong with the gospel. Nothing. It's holy. It's pure. It's the living word of God. So nothing is wrong with the seed. It is perfect. It's God's word. Remember, in this earth right here, heaven and earth pass away, but my word lives forever. In this room, there are two things that are eternal: God's word and people. So we have made it as a ministry our purpose to take the two eternal things, invest the eternal word of God into everyone who's going to live for eternity. We will live for eternity in the presence of God or from the presence of God. There's only two eternal destinations. They both start with the letter H, heaven and hell. Those are it. Those are the two eternal destinations. And if you recall from the parable in Luke, even those that had refused Christ from that location understood who Christ was, understood everything. So that living word of God is living for all eternity. My friends, follow Jesus. Accept Jesus. Accept his gift. Now we're back to what Jesus is saying. He's saying, look, you've got a long road ahead. I love you. He's there on the beach. He's ministering from the boat. He's saying, your problem is, it's not the one that's sowing the seed. And it's not the seed, it's the soil. The soil's the problem. And Jesus says, agriculturally, he gives the illustration. He says, let's just take four types of soil. So in your mind and in my mind right now, let's think of a box, okay, with four compartments. Can we do that in your mind? Think about that, a box with four compartments. Okay, you can think of a big pizza box with four compartments. Does that help out? Okay, so in one compartment is just hard ground. Hard ground. It's a path. It's a road. One compartment. In the next compartment, actually, when you look at it, there's some good, soft, dark-looking soil. You put your hands in and go, this could be good. But you put your hands just a little bit deeper below the surface, and there's rocks. It's nice soil, but it's on top of rocks. Okay? And then the third one. The third one, you right away, you put your hand deep in this third compartment, and you're feeling, and you don't feel any rocks. None. And you, this is really good soil. This is great soil. But you look a little closer, and you see there are weeds growing in this compartment already. And then you go to the fourth compartment. And in this fourth compartment, there are no rocks. There's no hard path at all. There are no competing growth in this compartment. It is just great soil. Okay? So we got that so far? Let's read a little bit more. Let's hear what Jesus has to say for us here today. Because the great multitude in verse 4, there's a great multitude. But in verse 9, then his disciples asked Jesus, saying, "What does this parable mean?" Remember, a parable will either reveal truth or conceal truth. Listen, on a Sunday message, some people are going to get it and some people aren't. And you know something? I'm not responsible, because the Word of God is living and active. What I am responsible, listen now, what I am responsible is to spend the week praying for our church family and for anybody that God brings here. And part of the prayer is, God, cultivate my heart. Cultivate our, it's a heart issue. Praying for the hearts of people. I can do that, and I should do that, and I do that, but praying for the hearts of people. And then you know what happens on Monday when we have our prayer meeting? We pray to water the seed, God. Just water whatever was sown. God, water it. We want to see life, fruit, transformation. So these disciples are wondering in verse 10. And they said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Remember, the religious leaders are going to put Christ on the cross. They had all the truth, but their hearts were hard and their visions then were blurred. Now stay with me, verse 11, follow with me. The parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear it, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe it and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear it, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. Verse 14. Now the ones that fell on the thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out, and they are choked with the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, they keep it and bear fruit with patience. So Jesus is beginning to explain to us a little bit about what's going on. So we have four hearts. And the first heart, we said, is a hard heart. There's no reception from this heart towards God or towards his word. And if it's having to do with our heart or our mind, it's a closed mind. The seed cannot get into the heart. It's a path. So it's just like if we were to reseed this area, this parkway out here with grass, with seed, and we're scattering the seed, it's going to go and part of it's going to come onto the parking lot, and the other will go onto the dirt in on the parking lot. It's not going to grow. And Jesus said, that's it. See, agriculturally, in this culture, obviously, they didn't have paved roads as we would know them right here, but they have paths. They have walkways through their fields. And those places that just take that path down, and that's where the seed is fallen. And he says, interesting, who comes and snatches that seed but Satan? And you could say, well, yeah, but we're the church, yes. And you don't think that Satan or the demonic realm wants to steal God's word from you? You don't think that there's a demonic battle going on? Just even for you to get here? How many of you had fights this morning? How many other? Don't raise your hand. I'm glad you're here. See, that's a miracle that God's alive, okay? It's a miracle that he wants to work. There's an all-out battle. So also what we pray for, also just listen, what we pray for is God. There is an angelic realm, and we pray for his protection in the angelic realm against the forces, the principalities that want to keep you from knowing God, loving God, serving God, and being fruitful. You say, I don't believe in the devil. Well, obviously, he's done a good job of lying to you, hasn't he? Because Jesus believes in the devil, okay? Jesus is speaking about right here. You need to know that the devil is absolutely orthodox. That means he absolutely believes, the devil, Satan, believes the Bible. It says he believes the scriptures and he shudders. He knows his eternal outcome. He doesn't contest this. He says to Jesus, truly, you're the Son of God. He knew it. He confessed Jesus. Satan is alive and real, and so is the demonic realm. And there's a battle going on. He doesn't want you to receive the word of God. He wants you to come here and he wants you just to be mad. Maybe one spouse's arms are folded. Now everyone unfolds their arms. But then, someone else is like, bring it, pastor, or whatever. But there's a battle. And once our hearts get hard, you won't, nothing. And the seed is not going to enter into a hard heart. You say, well, at least I came with you to church. I mean, what else did you want? Well, a humble heart maybe would be nice, could be good. And so there are things that, in terms of this spiritual battle, the Lord spoke about another type of seed, and it's called a seed of discord. In other words, he speaks about that using that very terminology, and it's out of Proverbs. And it says this is something that the Lord hates, sowing seeds of discord. And he speaks to us about the thief. He doesn't come except to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, don't be mocked. God is not deceived. Whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Six things, Proverbs 6. The Lord hates. The seventh is an abomination, which is one who sows discord. James says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. So we're bringing the truth. God's word is the truth. God's word will address every issue of life. God's word will help us in and through every situation. But if we have a hard heart, what happens is we are going to blame other people. We're going to be bitter. It's going to be all about us. And James says, where does this wisdom descend from? Not from above. It's earthly. He says it's demonic. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Proverbs 22:10, cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. And Proverbs 26:20, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. What keeps God from working in our lives and in our fellowship? Strife, discord, envy, jealousy, in the home, in the church. The Holy Spirit of God wants to work. He, Lord God, the Spirit, wants to work. He wants to allow us to bear great fruit. And he's saying, how's your heart? How's your heart? Is it hard? Is a seed able to go in there? And again, he's speaking to people that are hearing. And some of these Pharisees, they may say, hey, you know, that was a good word, Jesus. Yeah, well, Jesus is not impressed, okay? The word he's looking to go into our hearts. So that's the hard heart. Then he speaks about the second kind of a heart today. Not only a hard heart, but a heart that where there's the rocky soil, the rocks beneath the soil. And on that specific one, it's a stony heart, an impulsive heart. There's no root. The seed goes down. The seed cannot really go down. The first one, the seed can't even get in. Now, here's the thing. We all know men and women who at a time in their life needed God. They knew they needed God. They needed help. They needed God. And they heard about the love of God. They heard about Christ. And in a sense, there was a sense of even, God, I'm asking you for forgiveness of my sins. And Lord, I want to receive you. And all of a sudden, there is an exciting person. And you meet them and they're so excited. They're excited about God and about what God is doing. And they can't wait to get to church. And on Wednesday night, and they'll ask you, why don't we have something every night of the week? And there's just this excitement and passion. But then a few months later, they're not around. What happened? What happened to this person? And Jesus said, initially that top soil, it created a birth. It created a little life. It created something. And it's like, wow. But listen, we face the trials of life. We face the difficulties of life. And when that pressure comes and when the heat comes, if there is no ground for roots to go in, we're over. It's finished. It was just an impulsive type of response. There's nothing. And people walk away and they have their comments about church or whatever. Well, it didn't work for me. God's word always works. God always works. Don't blame God. It's not the seed, and it's not God, and it's not what Christ did for us. It's our own hearts. And what happens is God is wanting to work within our hearts. There is warfare. There is persecution. There is hardship. There's a whole doctrine out there, and it's called the prosperity doctrine. And the prosperity doctrine is where the gospel is presented, but if you receive this message, it is not the message that Christ is giving. The message is every gathering is nothing but a pep rally, and we're just going to rally it up, and we're going to stir it up, and what you're stirring up is a lot of emotion. And that emotion can carry you for a few days or a few weeks, and you got to get back and get all rallied up. Listen, God hasn't called me to rally anybody. Why would I do what he does best? What does he do? I mean, just the love of God, and the grace of God, and the kindness of God, and the purpose of God. I was a believer for just a few months. And at our wedding, what would you call maid of honor? Or how do you say that now? Maid of honor? Okay. I know the guy, but the maid of honor, okay. Her mother was dying, and she was a believer in the Lord. But she had gotten into this prosperity doctrine. And the pastor visiting her in the hospital, dying of cancer, said to her, the reason this is happening, because God wants you healthy, and God wants you happy, and God wants you whole. But it's happening because you don't have enough faith, or there's still sin in her life. My friends, I was a believer for just a few months. That cut to my heart. That's a lie. That is a lie. That is not God's word. God is here with you, ma'am. And I'm not certain what his plans are for you, but you are headed to heaven, either right now or a long time from now. I'm not certain. But what you need now is not condemnation based on your performance. You need to know that God loves you and he's accepted you based on what he's done for you. And it's not about your sin because they've been forgiven or your faith. It's that is just an alibi for this false teacher. That's what it is. He just needs an alibi because he's not coming through with the goods. It's a false teacher. That's not Jesus. Jesus is there with you. So let's move these rocks and the shallow soil away. Let's bring in some good dirt. Let's go deeper in the time we have left that your life will give glory to God. Jesus knew. He's teaching us these things. See, we go down and we talked about the hard or the indifferent heart. No reception to the word of God. The stony or the impulsive heart. There's no root. In Hebrews 4:2, it says, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we hear God's word. There's faith to trust him. God, you're in control. You're in charge. I appreciate just the prayer and the worship. You're in charge, God. I believe you. See, everybody has faith. Everybody has faith. Everybody has faith. It's just faith directed in different ways. We talked about this on Friday. I mean, think of a sports team. And then think of the fans, and they're rallying around. They'll hold up a sign, believe, believe. And believe what? Believe what? The guy gets, you know, if he gets two hits and strikes out twice, I mean, he's got a 500 batting average. He's like a hero. Believe what? See, we put faith, and it's the object of your faith. The object of our faith is Jesus Christ. You put your faith in Christ. In a sense, you're going with the winner. I mean, he's conquered death. He's given us eternal life. We put our faith, the object of our faith is in Christ, not in a manager or a batter or a quarterback or anything else. It's Christ. The third was the thorns. It's a crowded heart. It's an occupied heart. It's preoccupied. There's no room. The seed can't get free. This was a pretty hot summer, wasn't it? We kind of had to make a decision early on. Are we going to water the backyard or not? Because if you are, I mean, this summer, it was a major commitment, financially and labor-wise. Underline the first part. So wife took charge of the front. We watered. The grass was great and green in the front and back. Whatever. But listen, you think, okay, but why? Why are the nasty weeds growing and the grass isn't? And why is it green and the grass around it's brown? But then it's growing tall and the grass is growing short. It's getting green and the grass is right next to each other. But you take your grandpa thing, you know, and that's me and this, and then you pull it out, but the roots are pretty significant on those things, and they're just down there just drinking up whatever, probably water from the neighbor's yard, I'm not sure, but they know how to work it. And Jesus is saying in this third illustration, there's some competition in your heart. There's some good soil, but you have allowed some other stuff to really get planted in your heart. And weeds win, okay? Until you get rid of them, they're going to dominate. They're going to take over. They're going to own it until you do something about it. And it's the same way. And he speaks about what happens is the cares of the world or the worries of life and the deceitfulness of riches and pleasure. And it's, I want more of the world. And I'm not saying I want more of the word. And all of a sudden, the kids' activities and everything else becomes a priority. And God gets the leftovers, if that. If that. How can it happen? We have great illustrations. Judas would be a wonderful illustration. Judas was with them. Nobody would ever thought that Judas would have been the betrayer. He was with them and listening and a part of everything. But his heart was crowded out with everything the world had to offer and nothing of what Jesus had to offer. He rejected Christ on that. And then the fourth heart is a heart with a good soil. There's no refusal. I want the Word of God. Pastor, if you don't bring the Word of God, I'm out of here. I want God's Word. My soul wants God's Word. I want to hear God's Word. I believe in God's Word. Encourages with God's Word. It bears fruit. I'm eager to hear. I want to know His will. I want to do His will. I'm committed to Him. I want Him to change my life and to change my character. So we have these four hearts. Now, in studying the Bible, I didn't make up this next point. I learned these different things. Most everything I learn and borrow from other people, and then I put it in my heart. But parables, remember, there's nothing new under the sun, okay? So in a parable, we don't create church doctrine based on parables. Parables are an illustration of truth. So, for example, to say, the doctrine is one out of four people give their life to the Lord. That's the doctrine. Well, you how do you know that? Well, the parable, you don't make church doctrine, you don't make biblical doctrine based on parables. But there's a pretty strong warning here. There's a very strong warning in these scriptures. Well, what do you do? Well, I pray that God is helping us this morning. God's encouraging us. Well, I don't feel encouraged. I feel like, what heart am I? And that's a great question. What heart am I? I think that's a really good question. Here's how I look at it. And again, it's just me looking at it. I look at my own heart as best I can through the Word of God and the Spirit of God in behavior and, of course, the voice of the Holy Spirit when my wife talks to me. Anyways, anyways, okay, pedal fast, Pastor. Okay, here's my heart. I think in my heart there's four compartments. I think all those four compartments are in my heart. I think that there's areas in my heart that have been really plowed up by God, and God is, He's working. There's fruit. I mean, it is amazing. It is really great. Praise God for that. But also in my heart, also, there's areas of my heart, there's crowding in, there's croaching, there's things of this world that are competing with some other things, and there's a battle going on, and I'm battling through. How much, I'm battling through this. Only God can help me, but it's an honest battle. It's crowding out. The world is crowding, and I don't have it. God, I want to yield to You, and oh man, using of Your time and everything else. So it's a battle. I need God's help in that area. God, help me in that area. And there's areas in this heart with the four compartments. I realize how shallow I am. How shallow I am. I mean, sometimes I hear even my little grandkids say something, it's just like, oh man, that was like a well of refreshment to the shallow heart. I mean, there's just things that I want to go deeper with God. And I want to get anything rocky in the way, out of the way. I want to go deeper with God. I want to learn more about Him. I just want to think about Him more. And unfortunately, there's also an area in my heart that is hard. There's things that are hard. I mean, life comes to you and you got to work through it. And sometimes when you're working through it, it's not good soil. It's like, what about this section? And the Lord goes, I've been wanting to bring my rototiller to that area of your heart. Are you ready yet? Are you ready yet? Oh, you like your hard heart, do you? No. Then the Holy Spirit of God convicts me of sin. And I need to repent of that sin. I need to be sorry for that sin. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit is God's rotor tiller. He comes in and starts to work it and makes a lot of noise because it's hard ground, and he's churning it up, but he's changing it. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. God is at work within our lives. Amen? Amen? God is wanting us to bear fruit. He's saying to us, if there's no fruit in your life, are you really a follower of Christ? It's a challenging question. If there's no fruit, if you've been a believer and there's no fruit in your life, what's going on? It's a serious question. So, well, wait a minute. Now, that's a little bit too convicting. Now, are you saying I am a Christian or not a Christian? I'm saying, thank God I never have to make that announcement. That's in God's hands. But when we see him, he wants to say, well done, good and faithful servant. He wants to acknowledge what we've done for him in this life. Are you more excited about how many likes you get or reading the Bible? Jesus. He wants to work. The Lord wants to work in our lives, in our fellowship, in our church. God wants to work. He desires to work. And I pray for myself, God, I want you to work. I want to experience you, walk with you, know you, serve you in ways I never have before. I want there to be just an abundant fruit in my life. Bring the John Deere equipment, rotor tiller big time in my heart. I want you, God. I want you to work. I want to see the glory of God in our lives and in our fellowship. We're really at a key time, I think, in life. And as the church, I'm really praying, just the church overall, not just this fellowship here, but it's the church overall. They're praying. There must be, we pray for a real spiritual awakening. How many of your friends are hungry for God's word? How many times you said, God's word is what God showed me. This is how he's helped me. I was in this battle and God's word was there. I needed comfort, and this is a promise that God gave me. How many is just excited about his word? I love his word. There's a famine, but there's more availability of the word than ever before. God, we want you to work. Amen? Amen. Let's stand for prayer. Father in heaven, we just take this time right now, and we thank you, God, for your saving grace, Lord. And we cannot in our own strength produce any fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. How is it going? Is there the love and the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control? Is that happening in your life? Is there the fruit of the Spirit of bringing the good news to another life? Is there a passion in your heart to make Christ known? Is there the fruit of the Spirit living for Christ in the workplace when all others are going a different way, when there's critical words about Jesus, do you stand up and say, I'm sorry, that's my Savior you're talking about right now, and I'm a part of his family. Don't talk about my Father that way. Are we men and women that are experiencing that empowerment of the Holy Spirit because the Word of God dwells in us richly? God, I pray for that. Start in my life first, Lord. Work in me. God, I want more of you to be worked out of my life. We pray that for all of us. And if you've never come to a place of really understanding what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it is understanding that what we have in common is sin. The Bible says we've all sinned. There's no one that's righteous or ready for heaven in and of themselves. Christ, knowing that, came from heaven to earth. He offered himself as the perfect substitute. There had to be a perfect, sinless human offering, and he shed his blood for our sins. He was buried, and he conquered death because he proved himself alive, and all of human history is dated around the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus, I'm a sinner. You're a Savior. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I'm a follower of yours. Forgive me for having a stony heart, a hard heart, a crowded heart. God, forgive me. Clear out the mess and make my heart and my life more to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.